And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. DJ Bucky here. And, Buck, man, we've got the holidays coming up, but we've got a lot of good football before we get to those holidays.
A lot of good football. We're going to talk about it all. I'm excited about today's show because I get to talk about Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys, what his return means. We get to talk about the playoffs, previewing Week 16 games, how it impacts the playoffs, and more likely Rams or Jags in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to because those are two tremendous turnarounds. But can they get all the way to the finish line? We'll have that debate a little bit later on in the show. We've got the Move the Six audio pod. You can catch that on Sunday nights, Monday mornings. You also have the Tuesday show, and this is the Thursday show, which is also on video. So if you're listening to this, be sure to check out the video on NFL.com/MTS video. Let's jump right in, though, here, Buck, because the big news, I think, one of the big stories, is Zeke Elliott coming back off that six-game suspension, hasn't played since Week 9 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So expectations for Ezekiel Elliott in this game against the Seattle Seahawks, what do you got?
Well, I think he's going to be at an A-plus level when he comes back. I think this is a personal game. It's a game where they understand they must win. Gives them an opportunity to get back in the playoff hunt. They win their next two games. They really have a very, very good shot of getting in. I think the big thing for the Cowboys, it allows them to get back to being the dominant offense that they were a season ago. Even though early they got off to a rough start, Ezekiel Elliott wasn't in shape. I'm looking at a guy that has 783 yards, but now looking at the picture that we saw with him working out in Cabo, he comes back looking like the guy that we expected him to be this year, and it helps them reestablish the pecking order of their offense. I think without him being on the field, we now understand that Dak Prescott needs some help. Dez Bryant and Jason Witten are also different when he's not there. You put Ezekiel Elliott back in the mix, everything becomes easier for everybody else. I think we see a vintage Dallas Cowboy offense performance.
Well, we both love 90s music, and so I think you can agree that TLC's Creep is a classic. That is the effect you have with Ezekiel Elliott because those safeties, Buck, they got to creep. They got to come down the line of scrimmage. You got to drop one safety down there. You're going to see everything get kind of muddy in there to try and slow down Ezekiel Elliott, and it's going to make life a whole lot easier for Dak Prescott wanting to push the ball down the field.
It will. It will absolutely open up things in the passing game because this season we've seen Dez Bryant can't create separation. Jason Witten is near the backside of his career. He can't create separation. The thing that has allowed those guys to really separate, Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, changes the way the defense has to line up and play against him. So when you put 21 back in the backfield, I think you'll see these guys have more room, more space, more production in the passing game, and that will ultimately help number four, Dak Prescott, play better.
Yeah, talk about the safeties coming down. Also, it's going to set up a lot of the boot play action stuff that Dak excels at. Also, get him on the perimeter some. He'll have some opportunities to even run. You have some nakeds and some keeps off of Ezekiel Elliott. So it is a massive impact on this offense, and one of the reasons I think the Dallas Cowboys are a scary team if they somehow get into the postseason. All right, let's flip it over to the Seahawks here and what they need to do to rebound after a tough loss last week to beat these Dallas Cowboys. And I'll lead it off here, Buck. To me, Russell Wilson, he's got to have a cape. He's got to be Superman if they're going to win this ballgame. When they win, it's because he's doing just ridiculous things. And you can see, we've put a cape on him. Throw a cape on Russell Wilson because he's got to be Superman for them to win football games with what's around him, especially up front on the offensive line. And now with their defense struggling, he has to do superhero things, as you're seeing him do here against the 49ers on this clip, Buck. He has to have the cape. He better pack the cape if they're going to go win this football game against the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, it's crazy. He's accounting for over 80% of their scrimmage yards. He's doing it all. He's a one-man show. He's having to do more than any other quarterback in the National Football League. And when you look at this team, a team that is really beaten down, he is going to have to even take his game up a notch to give them any hope of clinching that last postseason berth. But really, when I look at it, this Seahawks team was never supposed to be.
Hold, Buck. Appreciate the cape.
I mean, I like the cape.
No, I want you to love the cape like I love it.
I mean, it's a nice cape.
Look how cool that looks. Look, it's floating. It's flying. The breeze as he takes off to run.
The animation has been great. The graphics are terrific on it. They even made it match with his body. I mean, I give him a great job. I mean, that's an A-plus effort.
Nice job, boys. All right, go ahead.
A-plus effort.
Yeah.
But the A-plus effort for the Seattle Seahawks needs to come from their defense because that's the part of the team that should be carrying the weight. This is a team that was built around their defense. The offense is more the complementary part. And what I need to see from the Seahawks, they got to play big boy football. Meaning I need to see them up front. That front seven, they're going to have to play big boy football against a massive offensive line from the Dallas Cowboys and a terrific runner in Ezekiel Elliott. And too many times this year, we've seen that occur. guys running right down the heart of the defense, taking it the distance. We've seen them give up more yards, more big plays than they ever have. I need to see Sheldon Richardson. I need to see Michael Bennett. I need to see K.J. Wright. I need to see Bobby Wagner. I need to see those guys step up, because if they don't step up, Dallas is going to run them out the building.
I've been around coaches, defensive coaches always harp on the fact, hey, let's not reach and grab. Let's square somebody up. Run your
Put feet your pads on.
Contact. A lot of reaching and grabbing when you watch the Seahawks defense. Who wins the game?
Dallas. I think Dallas is the better team. Dallas is ready to go. Ezekiel Elliott comes back, gives this offense a jolt. I think we're going to see Dallas play their best football the last couple games.
Yeah, that's one I don't think is very difficult. Again, Russell Wilson, the bar is set so high for him for them to get this done. I don't think they can do it. I like the Dallas Cowboys as well. Although the Dallas Cowboys are going to need a little help if they're going to get into the postseason. Let's look at some other big-time games. We've got Falcons and Saints. That's a 1 Eastern game on Fox. Give me a player to watch in this one.
It's all about Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman is the guy that you have to watch for the Atlanta Falcons, because they need to establish their running game. And he is a one-man wrecking crew when it comes to the run game and even being a factor in the pass game. When I look at him, over 800 yards rushing. But it's not that. It's also his ability to make plays out the backfield. They're going to need him to be the hybrid playmaker that can create offense and opportunities for Matt Ryan. He alleviates the load on Matt Ryan. I need to see him have a big game, because it's going to be necessary to slow down a New Orleans Saints team that is rolling.
Well, we know the Falcons are going to come to town with one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So when I look on the other side, I think Marshawn Lattimore, the rookie corner for the Saints, who has been outstanding, just named to the Pro Bowl. We'll get to some of these other rookies that were named to the Pro Bowl in just a little bit later on in the show. But to me, he is key in this one. Keep the ball in front of you. Make plays on the football. His tackling is going to be big in this one. You got to be able to get some big physical wide receivers, namely Julio Jones, on the ground. So need a big game for Marshawn Lattimore if they're going to get this done. But so far, the rookie's been outstanding.
I mean, the rookie class has been outstanding. They did knocked it out of the park on the draft, and we talked about it on draft day. They did a great job of bringing in blue-chip talents, and these guys have performed, probably exceeded expectations in some vein. Marshawn Lattimore has been the natural shutdown corner that everyone thought that he would be. Now you get them in the mix. You get them in contention. They're having to play their best ball down the stretch. I think the rookies are the ones that end up carrying the Saints. That's why I'm saying they're going to win.
Wow, you're going with the Saints here at home. I guess that's not much of a surprise. I think I'm probably the one going out on a limb here. I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons. Got to have it. They got to have this game. It's a tough place to go play. I think Matt Ryan has a big game. That's going to be the
– Oh, yeah? Matt Ryan? Matty Ice?
Matty Ice. Everybody, you know, guys – MVP last year. He's got it in him. He just needs to be a little more consistent. I think him and Steve Sarkisian get on the same page. Bills, Patriots, obviously a very big game for the Bills, trying to keep their hopes alive. The Patriots trying to hold on to seeding here. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars right behind them, so they can't afford to slip up here. Who's the player to watch?
The player everyone is watching is Tre'Davious White. And obviously everyone is watching him because of the incident that occurred with Rob Gronkowski taking a shot at him, a cheap shot after the play.
That might be the cheapest shot of anybody.
Absolutely. It's a cheap shot. It was unnecessary. And, look, this is one of the guys. I understand that Marshawn Lattimore made the Pro Bowl, but you can make the argument that Tre'Davious White is equally deserving of being a Pro Bowl player. Only player in the NFL with 2-plus fumble recoveries, 18-plus passes defense, 4-plus interceptions. He deserves more credit. Unfortunately, all of the attention is going to be on him because of this one-on-one incident. But I'm going to say he's going to take his game up a notch. He's going to find a way to make life difficult for Tom Brady.
I remember him coming out, and we had talked about it. I thought he was one of the safer players in the
Absolutely.
NFL. 4-year player at LSU. He graduated. You knew exactly what you were buying with Tre'Davious White. He's been outstanding. To me, though, the player to watch, Brandon Cooks, because I like to see what happens in a situation where you get a Brandon Cooks on a Tre'Davious White and see if he can stretch him vertically a little bit. I think the Patriots have to take some shots down the field in this game, and Brandon Cooks will be the one to do it. So I'll be keeping my eyes on him. This seems fairly obvious when you go to pick this game, Buck, but why don't you tell me who you got?
If the game was in Buffalo, I would maybe lean towards the emotional pick. But right now, I'm going to say the New England Patriots. New England Patriots understand what's at stake. They got to get done. I think they're just going to take care of business. They're going to deal with all the fanfare and just really make it a fist fight and a street fight. And I just don't think the Bills have enough to stack up. Patriots.
Yeah, I like the Patriots for all the reasons you just said. No reason to elaborate any more than that. Rams and Titans, man, this two teams head in the opposite direction. Rams coming off a huge win in Seattle. The Tennessee Titans go on the road and lose to the San Francisco 49ers. But both teams in that kind of got-to-have-it mode as they're jockeying for position. Titans trying to sneak in the playoffs. Rams fighting to get some home field advantage here. Player to watch, who is it?
Sammy Watkins. And I know it's tough to say Sammy Watkins is going to be the player of the watch, because when you look at the Rams, they do a great job of distributing ball to all their playmakers. And Sammy Watkins is the fourth leading receiver on their team. However, I believe he is their biggest X factor in the lineup. When I look at his average, 15.6 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns. He is their big play receiver. So even though they move the sticks with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Ty Gurley plays a factor out of the backfield, when they want to dial it up, the big play is going to number 12. This is a game against the Tennessee Titan team that may struggle scoring points. Look for Sean McVay to be very aggressive early to see if he can get number 12 behind that defense, put some early points on the board, make them play catch-up.
No, I think you will see them be aggressive. That's what McVay's all about here. To me, I look on the other side with the Tennessee Titans, the run game, the running backs to me have got to show up and have a big day. DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, they've got to take some pressure off Marcus Mariota. And Mariota was a little bit better last week against San Francisco. But if they can be balanced, establish that run early, try and shorten the game, I don't think they're the better team here. Anytime you can control the clock, control the ground, I think not only does it benefit Marcus Mariota, keep your defense fresh, all that good stuff. I don't think you want to get in a situation where you have a couple early three and outs because the Rams under McVay.
Oh, they're going to try to knock you out.
Knock you out in the first quarter.
They're so, Mike Tyson. It's a first-round knockout when you're dealing with the Rams.
First downs, control the clock. I think that ground game is huge for the Titans if they're going to win this one. Who do you like?
Oh, I'm going with the Rams. I think the Rams are too good. I think the Rams are really positioning themselves well to make a legitimate Super Bowl run. This is a team offensively that is a juggernaut, but defensively they're beginning to get better. I think they overwhelmed the Tennessee Titans.
I thought the Rams last week kind of showed they put their foot on the gas, and I don't think they're going to slow up.
Oh, no.
So I think it's all gas, no break. I like the Rams to win as well. I don't think that's going to be particularly close either.
Big? You're going big?
They're
going
to win big. Chargers, Jets. Chargers, man, that's a heartbreaking loss last week in the division. The Jets, look, doesn't matter who's in, who's out. They are competitive every week. They're going to give you a ball game. Who's the player to watch?
Antonio Gates. I'm going to dig deep in the set. You can't see. I'm digging deep in the bag. And I'm saying Antonio Gates has to throw out a vintage performance. Right now, this is a team that comes to the game without Hunter Henry. They're going to need Gates to play a big role.
What does he run right now? We put him on a stopwatch right now. What does he run?
I mean, he's always been a slower guy, maybe like a 5.2 right now. But that's okay. It's not about that.
If you'd have said 5.5, I would have said, come on, Bucks.
Come on. It's more savvy than anything. Look, he only has 20 receptions, 189 receiving yards. He has 2 touchdowns. I think in this game alone, he matches his season total. He is going to have 2 touchdowns for the L.A. Chargers.
That's like the uncle that shows up at the open gym.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Yeah, that's it. I got next.
Yeah, another, I'll take one.
The uncle on the other team, I got a quick question for you guys. Who wins in a foot race, Gates or Witten?
Oh,
little Hall of Fame 500.
I would pay to see it. The good thing is it could be a 2-day special because that's how long it would take for both of them to finish. Both Hall of Famers, all-time greats. And it just shows, we talk about it in the spring when we get to the draft, 40 time for tight ends. Who cares?
No,
it's a feel position. It's knowing basketball. How to use leverage and positioning, and those guys are as good as it gets, but they cannot run anymore. Okay, so who do you like in this game? Actually, I got to give you my player to watch. I'm going to go Jamal Adams.
Ooh.
Talk about Antonio Gates. How about having a safety that can match up with him there and Jamal Adams? Had a good year. Look at this tweet. I love this, by the way. I won't miss another Pro Bowl. Believe that. He did not make it as a rookie, but shows you where his head is at and what his expectations are for his level of play. I love that. And this is a guy, Bucky, you see, he was the best player in the draft last year, so I know you're partial to him as well. Had a really, really good rookie year. Not the ball production that maybe you would hope for, but as a tackler, shows you the range. You know, just a very active player would be the word I would use for Jamal Adams.
I think the big thing, his presence has been felt in the locker room. The way this team is playing, I think it's not a coincidence that Jamal Adams has emerged as their young leader on defense. He's a big-time player. He's a guy that loves ball all day, every day, and he's going to show up. This is going to be an interesting matchup. Because he had the Pro Bowl snub, he's going to be at another level. He is going to be at another level. It'll be interesting. Let's see if Antonio Gates maybe dekes him with a little old man move to get open. But this is a tremendous matchup. It's one where I think the Chargers have to have it a little more than the Jets. That is why I'm going to go with the Chargers in this one.
Confidence meter for me, 0. I'm taking the Chargers, but this is a toss-up
game. You don't have any confidence?
I don't have confidence in the Chargers. Coming off last week, that was a tough loss for them. I could see the Jets winning this game. I ended up picking the Chargers, but I think it goes either way. Steelers-Texans, 4:30 Eastern on NBC. This is going to be a nice little early Christmas game here. Buck, what are you thinking on this one? Player to watch.
Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster has been a nice find and discovery for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's really settled in well as the role as kind of like that number 2, number 3 receiver for them. He's made a ton of plays. And with Antonio Brown being out, he has to kind of step up a notch. I'm looking at him averaging 16.3 yards per catch. He has 5 touchdowns. Now when you have Schuster and Martavis Bryant on the outside, which one of these guys can do a little more lifting to replace Antonio Bryant's production? I believe Smith-Schuster is better positioned because he's the underneath route runner. He's the physical presence, kind of like the Anquan Boldin of their offense. Look for Big Ben to target him early and often. I think Smith-Schuster has a big game.
That's a good one. I'm going to go on the other side of the ball and go with Jadeveon Clowney, who just got voted to the Pro Bowl. Second year in a row, I believe. I think he was an All-Pro last year.
Yep.
He's been outstanding. And he's right around 9-10 sacks, but he is dominant in the run game. So you got a chance to watch him play, enjoy it against a very, very good Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line because he can beat you with power on the edge. You run right through your numbers. He can also beat you outside with quickness. He's got an inside counter move. And what he does in the passing game, I think he's even better in the run game. He's been outstanding. So he's my player to watch. I don't know if it's going to be enough, even if he does have a great game for them to get this done. But he's one of the most enjoyable players to keep an eye on. Who do you like in this one, Buck?
I think Pittsburgh wins. I think Pittsburgh finds a way to get it done. I think they have too many weapons. And also, the quarterback play from the Houston Texans has not been good.
I think
this is a get-right game. I think the Steelers' defense gets right facing T.J. Yates, Tom Savage, whoever they trot out.
Yeah, I think this Pittsburgh team will score some points in this one, and I'm not confident the Texans can keep up. I'll go with the Steelers as well. All right, the games that we didn't mention here, they get covered in the NFL Pick'em show. Buck, why don't you tell the folks about where they can find NFL Pick'em with all the podcasts coming together.
Oh, man, Saturday, 5 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern. NFL Network, check it out. All the podcast teams around the NFL. I know how much you love them. Game Theory and Money, that's my favorite new podcast. That
yes,
I listen to
my
all
favorite,
the time.
Too.
I love the numbers. And then DDFP.
DDFP sure is our podcasting parent. I mean, they kind of gave birth to us.
Kind of gave birth.
So we have a special place for them. And then there's the around the NFL. If you don't have any taste.
Yeah,
that's
you have
yours.
To watch it.
Let's jump into these rookies that made the Pro Bowl. Touched on it a little bit earlier with Marshon Lattimore. You see the list here. Two Saints, Alvin Kamara and Lattimore. And then you go to Kareem Hunt, who has been outstanding for the Chiefs. And then on the special team side, Buda Baker ended up getting the nod.
Buda!
So not too shabby as a rookie to make the Pro Bowl. So we touched a little bit about Lattimore. Just tell me what you've seen from Kamara and what he's done and meant to this team.
Kamara's been everything. Kamara's their best offensive player, and I know people are going to laugh at that, but I think all you had to do is look at when he didn't play a few games ago, how it impacted the offense. He is a dynamic playmaker. He's one of these new-school hybrid players that can do it all as a runner and a receiver. Terrific with the ball in his hands. He has over 1,300 scrimmage yards, and he is the matchup nightmare that defensive coordinators don't want to face. Because of his versatility and his explosiveness, the New Orleans Saints offense can really attack you in a variety of ways. He and number 22, Mark Ingram, have really enabled the Saints to become more of a running back-oriented offense, and that has really paved the way for Drew Brees to have a nice year and Michael Thomas to also to put up big numbers.
Man, I like the fact that he came from a school that used to have a football team. It was awesome, man.
Yeah, they haven't been as good.
He used to play football in
Knoxville.
Haven't
been as good of late. Long time
ago. A lot of people there and everything.
Merry Christmas to you too, guys.
Yeah, oh, hey, Sully. How's it going, pal?
Hi, guys. Hi. What's going on?
Long time ago.
Congratulations on that recruiting class.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's big news.
26th composite, I think, so.
That's
we'll
great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys have been
long
like,
way to go.
You guys have been like top five every year previously.
Yeah.
That's worked out well.
Yeah.
So
really.
Maybe change
including
it up a little
guy.
Bit.
Including this guy. Yeah. Kamara.
Change it up. Yeah. Let's change it up. All right. Let's get to one more here. Kareem Hunt. We've talked about him earlier in the season. I think he kind of disappeared. Well, he came back in a big way against the Chargers, and we saw kind of getting his second wind here. Kareem Hunt, instincts, balance, contact balance is a phrase I like to use with him because you'll see him be able in tight spaces, bounce off tackles, and get fight. Scratch and claw for those extra 2-3 yards can help you in the passing game as well. I mean, quite a feat. We've seen some rookies now. Ezekiel Elliott, we saw last year. We also saw Jordan Howard last year. I believe they're 1-2 in the league. And here we come right back with another rookie this year, Kareem Hunt. He's been outstanding, Bucky, and very deserving of that Pro Bowl nod.
He does. He's a very deserving player. He obviously came out the box fast, put up a lot of production, not only as a runner but as a receiver. I think the interesting thing when I look at these two guys that we're talking about, Pro Bowl players, will it ultimately change the way that we evaluate the running back position on draft day? Both guys third-round picks, but yet they're two of the better guys in the league. They emerge. They're dominant players. They have impact potential every time they touch the ball. So I think, obviously, whenever you're a scout and you go back and you look at your grades and you see, you try and figure out what did I miss with these guys? Because now, if we knew now, back then, would we say that these guys are first-round talents? Because their production has been worthy of being first-round players.
No question. Well, congratulations to those rookies for making the Pro Bowl. All right, one of our favorite segments here on the show. It's time for Push Past the Expected, presented by Visa. This is where we talk some guys who need to step up, go above and beyond in Week 16. Two apiece here, Buck. Lead us off.
Marquise Goodwin.
He's been awesome.
He has been absolutely terrific since Jimmy Garoppolo has been the starting quarterback, and I want to continue to see him step up. And the reason he has to step up, Jacksonville is the real deal outside that corner. But over the last three games, 24 receptions, 319 yards, and he is going to challenge them with his speed and explosiveness. Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bouye, let's see. This dude is lights out. He's fast. Let's see what the Jaguars do for him.
I've been impressed. I thought he was just kind of purely a vertical guy. He's showing he's a little bit more than that with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. I'm going to go Phillip Rivers. He needs to step his game up against the New York Jets. Not a great performance against the Chiefs. Had the turnovers. Some, you could argue, on some miscommunication there with Tyrell Williams. But they need to rebound here. They're not dead yet. You got to keep fighting. That's a tough loss for them last week. But we'll see what type of maturity this team has, and I think that stems from their leader in Phillip Rivers. If they show up and they are ready to go against the New York Jets, he needs to have a big game.
He needs to have a big game. He needs to quit calling his guys out. He needs to quit showing them up when they make mistakes. Sometimes it's him. Sometimes it's them. Be a better man. Let's see what Phillip does in a big game against the Jets. For me, I'm going to go to Carolina, and I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey as a guy who needs to step up. We're seeing this Carolina offense continue to evolve. They've gone back to doing what they should have done. Look, Cam Newton is making plays as a runner, as a playmaker. They're running some read option stuff, and they're really using Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen prominently in the pass game. This guy has 70 receptions. He has 5 touchdowns. He is beginning to get more touches on the ground. We wanted to see him be an impact player. Now that we're heading down the stretch, we're beginning to see him kind of put his own imprint on the game. Let's see if he can continue it in a very, very competitive battle against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No doubt. That's a good one. I'm going to go for my last one, Martavis Bryant with the Steelers. Antonio Brown's injury, you talked earlier in the show about Juju Smith-Schuster needing to step up. I think Martavis Bryant needs to make some plays for this team. We want to see him fight through press coverage a little more competitively. I want to see him fight for the football when it's up in the air a little bit more competitively. He needs to step his game up. This is a team you can't afford to slip up against Houston right now. Need a big rebound week. I do expect Martavis Bryant to have a big game. I think we'll see him step up.
He has to step up. They need he and Juju Smith-Schuster to step up because without Antonio Brown, there are plenty of balls to go around. Now they get an opportunity to show everybody how good they are when it comes to being number one and potentially number two receivers. He needs to step up. He needs to be a vertical playmaker, but also show that he can do more. I'm looking forward to seeing how they feature him because they need him to have about 100 receiving yards if he's going to be a dominant player coming into the postseason.
Well, there you go. The challenge has been issued. That was Push Past the Expected, presented by Visa, something we do every week on the Thursday show here.
Back in the Coliseum, Gladiators coming out.
It's a standard. One game at a time, let's do this.
Todd Gurley turned that thing into a foot race.
Leonard Fournette just went 90.
Side move. Gurley's going to go.
Talk about taking a beating.
Here they come. Now the sack exchange has got it going.
Saxonville is alive.
About as dominant as you can get.
Oh, yeah.
This time, play action. Deals down the middle.
Blake still has it. Fires to the right side.
Spins and falls in Pater.
Touchdown, Jacksonville.
If you're going to be a great defense, you need a great nickname, and that's definitely what Saxonville has. But the two great turnaround stories this year, Rams and Jags. Look at these numbers from the last 2 years. The Rams 4-12, the Jags 3-13. They both spin it around to be sitting at 10-4 right now. Bucky, look at the numbers on the screen here. You see the points per game, 31 and 26 respectively for these two offenses that were 14-19 the year before. What a turnaround for these two franchises.
Absolutely remarkable turnaround for both teams. And I think there's a lot of credit that can be displayed everywhere. You can throw it to the coaching staff. You can throw it to the front offices for kind of putting it together. But both organizations and franchises deserve credit for getting these teams right. They are loaded with talent, and they are ready to go. Both teams are primed to make a Super Bowl run.
All right, let's have the debate here, because talk about making a Super Bowl run. Both these teams, great turnaround.
For one, it's not a debate.
Well, it is a debate.
It's not.
We're
going to
get into that.
There's only one team that is going. One.
All right, well, I was just going to tee up here and just give you the whole thing here and say this. This is a tough thing to kind of sort out.
No, it's not tough at all.
They're both having great years, great turnarounds, great stories. But if we had to split hairs, and now you're telling me it's not even a discussion.
Oh, no. Duval. Man, look, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the team that is primed to make a run at the Super Bowl. When you look at the teams that have traditionally done it year after year after year, it all starts with a championship-caliber defense. And there's not a better defense in football than what you have down in Jacksonville. I mean, from the nickname to the people that are on the roster, this is a team loaded with blue-chip talent and Pro Bowl players up front. They can get after you without having the pressure. You talk about Calais Campbell playing like a defense player of the year. Then in the back end, those two corners, Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bouye, they can lock you up. This is a team that is first in scoring defense, first in sacks, and you always tell me this is a passing league. You got to be built to stop the pass. They do that. They can lock you up and they can knock you around. And then when you come down the stretch, you want to make sure that you have a quarterback that's
hot. Get it all out, Buck. Get it all out.
Quarterback
get
is
it all
hot.
Out.
Blake Bortles is on fire, as they say.
He's doing terrific.
He's on fire. He's on fire.
Listening to you after all the things you've said about this guy, listen to you sell me on Blake Bortles.
There's
some
is?
Sweet irony in
you
this segment right now.
It's called tough love. Coach Coughlin, coach me, tough love.
Yep.
I'm tough on him. Because I love him. So okay, now he's responded to the tough love. You discipline your kids.
So I thought
they
it was
grow
a 180.
Up, they grow
I thought
up.
It was just doing a 180.
No. We tough love. We
I thought it was just abandoning everything.
Just really trying to get it out of him.
If those,
and now we've seen it. 70% completion rate, 7-0. Touchdown to interception rate in December. Man, and if, even when he's struggling, you always can lean on the number one rush offense. Even when it's going back, Doug Marone said, we like to play a perfect game where we don't throw the ball. Maybe they don't throw the ball. They lead the league in rushing, almost 150 rushing yards per game. They can shove the ball up your booty sideways. They are terrific getting it done.
All right, I don't know. I want to ask the guys behind the glass here because surely we got enough people back there. Anybody play poker? Raise your hand if you play poker. Okay, so we got pretty good group. So, you know, as I understand it, everybody has a tell. Right? There's always a tell, and you try and pick that out. So let me just replay this in my head, what I just heard here, and see if you guys can find what the tell is. Just listen to my voice and see if you – this is what Bucky just did. Bucky just did, I believe in the Jags defense. It's phenomenal. It's outstanding. Blake Bortles, he's the best. My voice is going really high right now. I think that's your tell. I think your voice elevates a little bit in pitch when you don't believe something. You did not believe that. I didn't feel that.
December, he has thrown in.
I felt the defense thing.
I just always wanted him to
really
take
nice.
Care of the ball. He's finally listened.
You went.
It's like being a proud parent. It's a proud parent. I finally seen him like, hey, you just do what I say. Life would be easy.
What's the name?
Don't turn it over, they're winning.
What's the name of my guy that that Blake does Bortles. The Verizon commercials. It was in the baseball movie, James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones for the defense. That's what you gave me.
Come.
And you gave me Mike Tyson when you were trying to
Come
sell
on.
Blake Bortles.
Because I want to knock you
the
out.
Total pitch change.
I want to knock
total
you out.
Tell.
What are you Darth Vader, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also Darth Vader.
Also Darth.
Also the voice.
Other thing he
also the voice of CNN.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. That's a good drop there.
We're starting to buy what Bucky's selling back here. I don't know.
Don't do that.
It's easy to sell.
Can I make my case?
I mean, you can.
All right, I'm going to make my case here for the L.A. Rams. And I'm going to start right at the most important factor, and that is Sean McVay. When you look at what he brings to the table as the premier play caller in the National Football League, there is nobody better than him at exploiting and attacking a defense. Bar none, they have the best offensive play caller, the best offensive coach in the league. Got to score points in the postseason. Sean McVay is going to get that done. That's number one for me. Number two, Jared Goff just continues to get better and better and better. The big stage didn't bother him. Go up to Seattle. A lot of people have been embarrassed up there. He handled it no problem whatsoever. Jared Goff's been outstanding. I think his best football is still ahead of him. I don't think it's too big for him. Speaking of that offense, let's stay there and go Todd Gurley, who's playing like the best running back in the league. So now I've got the best play caller, I've got the best running back, and I've got a more than competent quarterback. You're in great shape. You want to play a physical game in the postseason? Talk about bringing your defense. You need to bring a run game. They can bring one of the best run games in the NFL with Todd Gurley. No doubt, I take Todd Gurley over Leonard Fournette. You give me the choice every day of the week, twice on Sunday. It's not close. Then we go to the defense for the Rams. I'll give you this. The Rams defense is not the Jags defense.
It's not.
You've got me there. But when I look at who can take over a football game, I will take Aaron Donald over anybody on that Jacksonville defense. They're outstanding. Calais Campbell's great. Aaron Donald can single-handedly take over a football game. So I'll give you the edge on the defensive side. I'll take the edge at the quarterback position. I'll take the edge at the running back position. And I'll take the edge at the head coach position.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've got all those.
Those are all on my side.
You had me until you threw out the head coaching thing. Because
oh, yeah, I'll take McVay.
I have two head coaches.
Doug Marrone.
I have Doug Marrone.
Tom Coughlin's not coaching that.
I have head coach emeritus.
Come on.
Tom Coughlin, who has two Super Bowl rings. And then I'm going to go back because I know you gave me a hard time about really selling it. What you try to do is
keep a little bass in there when you sell this.
You lowered your pitch with Jared Goff, and it's cool because deep down inside, when we go all the way back and we pull up the tape of Goff versus Wentz, you're not really a Jared Goff guy. That's not really your guy.
He doesn't really have a soft spot.
He doesn't have a spot for you. So I understood you sell it, but yeah, you probably if you had left Jared Goff off the list,
answer me this.
I would have done it.
Answer me this. This could go on for a long time, guys. I hope you guys don't have anything else to do back there. Answer me this. Honestly, look me in the eye. Tell me the truth.
What?
You mean to tell me Jared Goff, who I had one spot behind Carson Wentz, one spot. You mean to tell me you think I was lower on Jared Goff than you were on Blake Bortles 6 months ago?
I can't remember.
Okay. There you go.
I can't remember.
I rest my case.
But I get everything else. I get everything else with it. I get the defense. See, it's like going right now, Christmas time. So right now we get to go into the store. I get Blake Bortles, but I also get a defense and a running game. Oh, I'm going to take that all day. You just get Ty Gurley.
Yeah, I'll roll with Wade Phillips. I'm good.
Ty Gurley.
I'm good with Wade Phillips. He'll
be and one defender.
Just fine.
Aaron Donald. And I can't even name who else is on the team.
Everybody on your team, you're going to get tired heavy-legged because all that extra work you did with Coughlin. All right, let's let the guys behind the glass vote on this. If you think first of all, let's work backwards here. Start with me. If you think that I won that argument, give me a thumbs up behind the glass there.
Oh my gosh, look at those.
One, two, three. Okay.
Yeah, that's a negative.
Now, if you think Bucky won that argument, you could throw the thumbs up back there.
I would like to thank the Academy.
Unbelievable. You
for
guys
all their support
sold me down the river. Every single one of you.
I think we're all believers in Bucky. Defense winning championships back
always
here.
Always wins championships.
But
physical.
Point to you. You should have let off that the Pats are in the AFC. There's that point.
What's they got to do with anything?
They're pretty good at getting to the Super Bowl.
Oh, we're going to beat them up.
Okay.
We're going to beat them up.
Two, I hope both of you guys are right because that would be a really fun Super Bowl.
There's some method to what I'm doing right now. Keep talking. Go ahead, guys.
We're going to beat them up.
I'm just saying, both of you guys could be right.
You've already seen us. You've already seen
Rams, Jags, and Minnesota would be fun.
You've already seen us beat up the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
You've already seen that.
That's true.
Here's what I want.
And the Seahawks.
There's no off factor. This is all that I want in
Russell
life.
Russell Wilson's one of his worst games.
This is all that I want to see after everything that Bucky has said. I want Bucky. I'll pay for the ticket. We're going to send you down to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. And when Blake Bortles is there and that confetti flying down.
It's going to be great.
I want that confetti to land on you and Blake.
It's going to be great.
As you embrace and say, I'm so sorry for everything that I've said about you.
I won't have to apologize.
I want that. You just get the confetti off you. It's going to be all over you.
It's called parenting.
Parenting.
It's called parenting.
Love. Tough love.
The greatest reward.
Bulletin board material there.
I might even shed a tear. It's almost like watching your kid graduate. It's like a little tear just coming right out the corner of my eye.
All right, I'm not happy. Bah humbug. I hope you have a miserable holiday.
Duval!
You guys all suck behind the glass there. We got a little grasshopper to talk about.
Little grasshopper.
Yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, even if you have a side gig, let me introduce you to Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Grasshopper lets you run your business from your cell phone while keeping your business and personal lives separate.
Choose from their huge inventory of local toll-free or vanity toll-free numbers.
Simply forward your new number to your mobile phone and start taking phone calls immediately.
Whether you're in office or in your car or out shopping for the holidays, Grasshopper's iPhone and Android apps help you stay connected to your customers.
Not to mention, you can send and receive calls and texts from your business phone. Set up multiple extensions for everyone on your team. Get your voicemails transcribed and emailed to you. Work from anywhere with call forwarding. Make and receive calls from your computer via the desktop app and even utilize Wi-Fi calling.
But Bucky, better yet, Grasshopper offers an easy and instant setup and 24/7 customer support, all without any long-term contracts.
Grasshopper.
Sign up today. Go to grasshopper.com/sticks, get $20 off your first month. That's grasshopper.com/sticks. Bucky, it was a fun show today.
It was a great show, and the best part of it was talking about how Jacksonville is going to the Super Bowl. All my Jacksonville Jaguars people will stand up for me. They understand Duval is in the mix.
Tough love, huh? That's what you're giving me?
Tough love, yes.
Maybe that's what you guys behind the glass are giving me by voting the way you did.
That's right.
Tough love for Borders. We're
when the Rams win the Super Bowl and the confetti's falling down, we're the one that's going to be shedding a tear for you because we're tough loving you.
Tough love. A little tough love. Tough love's never hurt anybody.
You think you have a little support, you know?
Yep.
Come to find out. No, you don't. Hey, the Move the Sticks podcast, Bucky, 3 times a week. We talked about it earlier in the show. The Sunday/Monday show, Tuesdays and Thursdays. This show is a video show, which if you're listening to it, you can go to NFL.com/MTS video. You can check that out or on NFL Now. All of our video content, NFL.com/MTS video or YouTube.com/NFL is the place to find it. We will have an audio pod coming up Christmas Eve, so that'll be released. You can check that out Sunday night. Maybe you wake up Christmas morning and the kids aren't awake yet. You want to listen to something, we got you covered with a little Move the Sticks episode there. That's going to do it for us. If we don't see you until then, you don't hear from us. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Hope you have a wonderful time with your family, and thanks for letting us be a part of your day here on Move the Sticks. We appreciate it. That's Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. Catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.